What if I told you that waking up to pee in the night was not necessarily normal and there were things you could do about it? Stay tuned to today's episode to find out more. Welcome back to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. My name is Sarah, and today I have on Dr. Cassie DeWitt to talk all about the things that a lot of women are really afraid to talk about, and that is our pelvic floor and our bladder health. So we are going to lay it all out there and talk about what is normal and what is not normal. Now, I am really excited about Dr. Cassie's work, so I really encourage you to head down to the show notes and check out all of her free resources and follow her over on social media. I'm following her and love her work and actually just purchased her course and love it. And before we jump into today's episode, I just want to thank a couple of sponsors. The first one is going to be Vivarays. They are my go-to source for protecting my circadian rhythms. You can use the code YOGI to save over at Vivarays. They also have really great low EMF headphones as well as eye masks that are great for sleeping. The second sponsor is Upgraded Formulas. I absolutely love their nanoparticle technology magnesium formula. So many people have gut issues and are also low in magnesium. So a great way to bypass this is the nanoparticle technology magnesium. Check out Upgraded Formulas. Use the code YOGI12 or YOGI to save there. All right. Thank you so much. And let's jump into today's episode. All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. I am really excited today to have someone here with me. We're going to talk about some issues that I think kind of get pushed under the rug. And so, Cassie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind, let's just introduce the community to you, what you do, your background, all that good stuff. Yeah.
My name is Cassie DeWitt. I'm a pelvic floor therapist. I have a doctorate in occupational therapy and a specialty in pelvic floor rehabilitation. And it's basically all I've done in my career has been devoted to pelvic floor rehabilitation. And it comes from a history from myself of being impacted by pelvic floor dysfunction at an age, the earliest I can remember is 16. So mm-hmm. I remember leaking urine during sports in high school, having hip pain, constipation, pelvic pain, unable to use a tampon, and exercising was, I just always leaked urine. By the age of 19, I was diagnosed with a bladder and rectal prolapse. And so I had gone through all the medications, all the surgeries, all that it's normal conversations, mm-hmm. went through 6 different OBGYNs and a couple of primary care physicians who told me it was normal. There was nothing really I could do. I was too young to fix it. Wasn't bad enough. And so it kind of made me, I don't want to use the word angry, but I was upset with just the kind of card I was dealt. And we just did a ton of research and found a different OBGYN, and he introduced me to pelvic floor rehabilitation. And at that time, they had put me in, that was around, I was 20, at 22, they put me into menopause. And what? Yeah. And that was after 3 different surgeries. And so when that didn't work and was one of the most horrific experiences of my life, we found the OBGYN who absolutely changed my life and introduced me to my pelvic floor therapist. And that's kind of my background. And so, of course, my passion runs so deeply because it changed everything about my life, my quality of life, the trajectory of my life. So if I would have followed all the things that my care teams would have told me, I just don't even know where I'd be right now. I wouldn't be here. I can tell you that. So strong passion for helping women and men improve their pelvic floor function and break stigmas of this is normal and women just have to suffer through it, especially mm-hmm. After childbirth, perimenopause, menopause, you know, we're kind of told that it's just part of it. So yeah. I'm here to break those myths and teach women how that they can absolutely do something about it. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Wow. I mean, I think already I'm just like so many things that I want to ask you about, because I've got women kind of at all stages that listen to the show, I know, because they reach out to me. I've got a lot of women who are, you know, in the fertility age and have either had a child or they're pregnant. They're in that stage. So I definitely want to talk about that stage of life. And then, like, I remember as a teenager as well, like, I could never jump on the trampoline. Like, all the kids are playing on the trampoline. I couldn't, like, and it happened as young as like 12 and 13. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? You know? And, yeah. So maybe let's start there. Like,
yeah. So I think a lot of, there's so much misinformation out there, and it's so also not discussed. So research and women being in research wasn't, you know, we weren't researched for a long time. I mean, we've only been in research for, I feel like, a few years.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't researched. So like my mom's age and even younger than that, like to my grandma's age, there was, and then past, these women had nothing to go off of other than to not talk about it. So I get caught, and there are pediatric pelvic floor therapists, and that's definitely an expertise that is not mine. But when I have women reach out, I have a lot of friends that have kids. And of course mine started as a kid. I look at them the same way as my pelvic floor therapist looked at me. Like, it's not normal for a 12-year-old to leak urine. Mm-mm. On the trampoline or laughing. I get a lot of, cause that's a really
good laughing
age,
yeah.
Which I love. And
oh yeah.
There's lots of moms that reach out and they're like, my daughter only leaks urine when she's really giggly. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want her to hold back her giggles because she's afraid of leaking urine at a slumber party or something like that. So I would train, with the same kind of language that I would use for an adult woman, because it's all very safe language, and how to train our bladders, how to respect our bladders. What does that mean? How other things, because I think when I started developing my own curriculum for my pelvic floor rehab, I had watched some of the best therapists I feel that I could have ever been around. I have also seen therapists where I'm just like, ugh, you know, that there's always that. But I think looking at a woman as an entire human and not just like pelvic floor strength or Kegels is super important.
Yeah.
And that's another avenue. Typically women are told, oh, you leak urine, go do Kegels. You're not doing enough Kegels, or you're not doing them right. And it's just like, we're so much more than that. Right. So, strengthening is obviously absolutely part of the game, but, we have to look at nutrition, habits, position and posture on the toilet, what they do for a living, their stress level, their hydration, their all the things about a human being to give them a proper protocol for how we can improve their quality of life. So, and I would do that with a kiddo. Like, we need to stay away from, these are the things that will make your bladder fussy, and like carbonation, caffeine, and alcohol. Obviously kiddos be drinking alcohol, but if they're educated in a way that empowers them and makes them a strong advocate for themselves early on, I was kind of forced into that role. I think it's just a really beautiful way that they can learn to communicate with their bodies, and it takes so much embarrassment out of the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm curious about like jaw development as well. And how do you, because I was one of the kids that had the palate expander. You had to wind it up with a key. I still have crooked bottom teeth, even though I had teeth taken out and braces, and like I had a ton of dental issues. And then at the same time, I would also have the, you know, pee your pants when you laugh too hard with your friends, can't jump on the trampoline, all of that. And I know it's growing up in the 90s with fat-free Pop-Tarts and Snackwell's cookies and never eating anything really nutritious. We were like the kids that, you know, parents go to work and you're 10 so you can babysit the other ones. Good old Gen X. And I'm like, bye, we're out.
Isn't that nuts? I started babysitting like at 11 years old. People
me too.
Have three kids. And I'm like, okay.
$2.50 an hour. I remember I would get the $2.50 an hour for babysitting. And I'm like, cool, I got $8 tonight. You know, Yeah, but I'm like, man, I feel like it's all connected. Not like you said, like no system operates alone, right?
Right, head to toe. So, like, even our feet have a serious impact of our pelvic floor all the way up to, I'm guessing that one of two things. When I've had braces 3 times, just got done with Invisalign before, again. I've had such jaw issues myself, so I completely sympathize with you with that. But I was such a clincher. And so, not even knowing, but I was a little bit higher anxiety kiddo, very type A, wanted to be the athlete, the student, the all the things. Not that my parents put that pressure on me, that was just me. And so the clenching of the jaw, that even though I was so tiny, in high school, I would clench my butt cheek, suck in my stomach, like I was just always so tense. And that goes all over the place. So when I started my period, what they call, I can't even remember what they call it now, but later, I didn't start till I was 16. And that's kind of when all the problems that I can remember showed up. And one of the first things when my pelvic floor therapist came into play, she was like, the same cells that are in your jaw are in your pelvic floor. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. So when I met her again, I was angry. I was upset. She was just another person that I had to go see to try to fix me and all the things. So when I went through surgery and medication and menopause, and she was like, we're going to learn to relax. I was like, oh lady, I just got out of menopause. Like, this is not gonna work. Your breathing is not going to work. And I love her so much. And she is like, this is your platform. She doesn't want me to ever mention her name. She's still practicing. And she, I mean, totally changed my life, but she's like, you have got very stern and said, you have got to trust me. If I tell you to do something, do something. And so, if you really want to get better. So my first exercise was breathing. And I just learned to breathe and being very well aware of all of my muscle structures, which was probably the hardest part of my whole journey, was learning to relax my body. And so the jaw clenching, the butt clenching, all of the things, learning to let go, being aware of just some muscle tension I had, was a huge turning point in my pelvic floor rehabilitation. And so we stretched feet, we stretched hips and spine and thoracic spine and shoulders, and we just went through the whole gamut of learning just to relax the entire body. Because when your pelvic floor, I think one of the conversations that is often had in our society is women want a tight pelvic floor. And the word tight with any muscle structure to me actually makes me very cringy. Like, don't want anything to be tight. You want everything to be strong and mobilized. So my pelvic floor was like a clenched fist or a contracted bicep all the time. So there was no way that Kegels were ever going to help my pelvic floor at the point it was. In fact, it would have probably been so disastrous. And I was told through so many physicians to just do Kegels. I needed to do more Kegels. And so tightening or contracting a pelvic floor that doesn't know how to move, doesn't know how to relax, can cause so much injury to spine, hips, all of the things, causing more pain, causing more urgency, frequency, and incontinence. And so learning to relax the pelvic floor was an interesting fact. So jaw, belly, booty, feet, all the things had to go through an entire overhaul, right? So I'm glad you brought up the jaw, because I think so many people don't see the connection from head to toe.
It's all connected. I mean, the body, no system operates on its own. We have to look at the whole system.
The whole system. And anybody who doesn't look at the whole system is not delivering long term, to me, long term results, long-term, and what stinks about that is insurance dictates so much if you're in clinical practice. I was told by an insurance company, do not discuss nutrition. And I thought, out of my scope of practice. And I'm like, absolutely, I'm not a dietitian, but I've been heavily trained and I would never tell someone what to eat. That's not my area of practice, but how food and drink influence function absolutely is inside my practice because it impacts quality of life and functionality. So anyways, a lot of the things therapists and other practitioners were limited if we're, with insurance companies over our heads. So, yeah. So I don't know if you've experienced that in yours, but there was a lot
Oh
of things
yeah. I
that I felt
mean,
like I
just a
couldn't
lot
do.
of doctors that my clients have seen are like, "Oh, your nutrition doesn't affect XYZ." I'm like, "It affects everything." Like, sorry, but it affects everything, every system.
I always tell people, I'm like, you wouldn't put diesel gas in an unleaded tank and expect it to run good and healthy and have all the things. So why we put junk in our tank and expect it to function normally is, just we have to be realistic.
So we've got the teens, right? So
So looking at nutrition, and this is what kids are hard, right? I have
oh,
three. I'm
yeah.
pregnant with my fourth, and I feel like teaching kids, being aware of how often they go to the bathroom, how they're very private too at that age, so how long they're urinating for. That's why I'll keep it to the experts, but that's what I would discuss with my a lot of time. I would discuss with my parents if they had teenagers that were experiencing urinary leakage, bedwetting. Bedwetting can be a whole slew of things, right? But look at their
Frequent
nutrition.
urination.
Huh?
Frequent
Oh
urination.
yeah. Like I leaked urine so much as a teenager that I would go to the bathroom 15 to 17 times a day to
Oh my
help
gosh.
limit urinary leakage. I was making it a lot worse, but I was doing what logically made sense to me. Having a lot of these bad habits, like peeing just in case, hovering over, I was an athlete. So we went to all these different schools. I was scared to get dirty, basically. And so I would hover over all the toilet seats. I would push urine out, which has caused my prolapse. Had a terrible diet. If just one person asked me what my diet was at that time, they would have known that I ate a ton of Taco Bell. I was smoking cigarettes. I drank at parties. Like I had a terrible, terrible lifestyle at that time. But not one person ever asked me until I met my pelvic floor therapist, honestly. So we want to make sure that their nutrition, their hydration is good. A lot of times also with let's just say athletes, they eat these or they drink this
Gatorade,
sugary drinks.
Powerade,
Oh my God. We just got my daughter plays soccer. She's seven. And we got a message from her coach. And it was like, make sure you have Gatorade on hand and you have
No.
like,
No.
no. Why would I
No.
fill her? No. So, anyways, those are the things you can look at to see, okay, where are we at? Also, if your kiddo has high anxiety, and you know this about your children, teaching them how to breathe. I think we're so scared to be like, hey, let's learn how to take some really good deep breaths and what that means for our body. So that's what I would do as a parent of a kiddo that has, some issues, and then go see a pelvic floor therapist because how they treat pelvic floor strength is different than how I would treat pelvic floor strength.
Well, those are some good tips for those people who are, because I know I'll probably get the people with the teenagers and the kids and the grandkids as well. And then the next stage of life is the pregnancy and post-pregnancy, because I felt like for me, in my experience, changing my nutrition and getting things getting my body stronger, doing more. I became a yoga teacher, and that was really helpful for any leaking urine issues, like it just learning to breathe and relax the body and all that stuff was really helpful. Then, you know, having the baby, though, was like all the issues came back. And it's like, I can't do jump rope. I can't, if I was going to have a personal trainer, I'm like, please don't, no, none of this jumping crap. Like, I would have to have a serious conversation. I'm like, no exercises where I'm jumping. Do not. Like, or you're fired. You're absolutely fired, you know? And I have so many women after they have the baby, like all of a sudden you're, you know, and it started for me. I just had a baby, he's 17 months now. The last month of pregnancy, I would wake up in the night and have to pee, and I never made it to the bathroom. Like, so many nights I'm like, oh, psh, did my water break? Or did I just like, did the baby just fall onto my bladder and just, you know?
So that's a whole other.
Yeah. I love this stage. And honestly, when I got out of clinical prep, when I got out of my clinicals, I was like, I'm going to do pregnancy and postpartum and athletes. Those are going to be my patients. And that is not who chose me.
Perimenopause, menopause showed to you. Yes, we're going to get to you, ladies. Yes, I know that you're
too. I fell in love with that. I mean, I'm heavily in love with that age group. And so, but a lot of my training was in prenatal, postpartum, and athletes. But so pregnancy, the Olympic event that we don't train for, right? So I think it's so sad how undereducated we are, and influenced in certain ways, because pregnancy mm-hmm. is so scary. Now you're caring for a human that, mm-hmm. It's your responsibility basically, right? Like, you feel all this from the moment you read the pregnancy lied on the test, you're like, oh my gosh, immediate guilt, right? So you want to do everything as safe as you can. And I'm pregnant with my fourth. And I told, when I was telling my doctor, he's like, you look like you work out and, you know, just don't lift over 25 pounds. And I just thought, why are we telling women not to do any kind of, you know, exercise? And so even now, if you're, find out you're pregnant, then we're not training for a marathon, right? We're not doing.
Right. You're not going to start deadlifting if you haven't been doing it before.
Right. And we're not going 0 to 100, you know, in the marathon training or the lifting, right? But you can do so much pregnant, and it's so good for you to prepare for this journey through pregnancy. Walking, I feel like, is the most underrated
exercise. Oh, yeah. I did tons of that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Posture and strength and core strength and pelvic floor strength, right? So, and mental strength. So mm-hmm. we're going through, with pregnancy, we're having all these hormone fluctuations. We have all this extra fluid on us. We have a literal human inside our bodies that is squishing everything. And so really focusing on our core strength and correct breathing mechanics when we are doing even functional things, making our bed, if you have other children, picking them up, changing their diaper, putting them in their car seat, all of these things, if you were to replace it with a dumbbell and not, well, now we have exercise, right? But, so taking care of a home is I absolutely consider it, functional exercise. And so thinking of your breath mechanics when you're changing laundry, when you're getting off the toilet, when you're vacuuming, all those things, looking at your posture, super important during pregnancy and postpartum, making sure our ribs stay stacked over our hips, which is really difficult to do when you, especially the bigger you get. I was walking back in the park the other day and I was like, why am I walking this way? I automatically had this like tilt in my pelvis that was causing so much pressure on my feet. My feet were hurting. I was like, pull your ribs back over your hips and pull yourself together. So posture, and then of course, nutrition, hydration, of these things going to be important. So you want to use your pelvic floor during all these functional movements. Big cue I tell all my ladies is make sure that we're exhaling as we are through the hardest part of the exercise. So whether you're getting up from the toilet, which is a supported squat, this is what I tell my women, you're exhaling to get up, that automatically contracts pelvic floor. When you're lifting your babies or you're putting groceries away, ensuring that our posture and technique is good, and then really work on those core exercises that focus on the transverse abdominis muscle, which is that lower tummy muscle, super important, along with the pelvic floor. And then for years, we were told Kegel, Kegel, Kegel. And I love Kegels with other, like, we're not laying down on the couch and doing three sets of 10 Kegels. We're not doing that anymore. That's not functional. That shows in research that it doesn't really improve strength like we want it to. But when you pair it with other functional movement or exercise like glutes and Kegel, core and Kegels, that can be really beneficial to improving overall health and wellness and strength during one of the most significant times in our life. Our
Yeah, I
bodies are
think
working even when we're sleeping.
yeah, 100%. And
And
so
then, of
the
course,
getting,
hydrating and sleeping,
oh
like
yeah.
getting the rest. Our bodies, like I said, they never turn off, and need the rest. But when you are thinking about, like getting up and going to the bathroom, this is when a lot of these habits, come into play that don't leave us once baby is here. So
Right.
ensuring that we're doing our, I get up 2 or 3 times a night, the normal, quote, normal. We don't want to be getting up more than one time a night, but I'm not getting off my bed, and
No.
my bladder is always full. So it's like, if I have to get up and go to the bathroom, I'm ensuring that my mechanics are really good. I am breathing. I'm using my squatty potty. I'm doing the things to help protect my pelvic floor and bladder as much as possible.
And then postpartum, that's when all
So
the best.
I have C-sections. I have treated tons of vaginal births. And no matter what, women, I want them to know that we only think about labor and delivery. You just carry
Right.
a human for 9 to 10 months, right? So that was a lot of
Right.
trauma, pelvic floor.
For your body, for your insides to have to be squished for all
Yes,
those
months.
months. Yeah.
Yes.
All your organs.
You're handing over your body to this itty bitty thing, and it just takes over. So I just had a conversation with a mom in my Instagram DMs the other day, and she was like, "I'm 2 weeks postpartum." And I'm like, "Oh, honey, we have 18 months to go. Like,
Right.
women don't even feel like themselves again for almost 2 years. You have so
Right.
healing to do." That
Yeah.
this, I think we're getting away from this bounce back culture, but it's
I
still
know.
there, right? Like the baby leaves your body and you're like, why is this
Oh,
still?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, women reach out to me constantly because I just had a baby, and they're like, I want to lose the weight. I want to do this. And I'm like, let me send you a picture of me, like, 6 months postpartum, 7 months postpartum, when the baby is exclusively breastfeeding
Yes.
off my body. There's not eating. He was not eating any food. It's just a breast milk. I did not lose any weight
No, me neither.
until he started like eating more food and breastfeeding less. That's when the weight just kind of started coming off. I had to work to get it off, but like, as long as he was around the clock breastfeeding, my body is like, we are not letting go of this 30, 40 pounds. Like, forget it, lady. And so I get people are just like, ah, I'm 3 months postpartum, I'm 4 months, I want to lose the weight. I'm like, I can give you some really good things to implement so that when your body's ready to let go of it, it'll let go.
Well,
But you got to calm down.
we trust and listen to the communication our body gives us. If I could give women one piece of advice in my expertise of pelvic floor, I would say listen to the communication your body is giving you. So,
Stop trying to override everything because you think it has
right.
to be a certain way.
Yes, absolutely. So, I don't lose a pound. If anything, I gain weight after pregnancy and while I'm breastfeeding. Even when I slow down breastfeeding, I feel like my body just clings to it even worse, which was something I was like, I'm going to breastfeed because because I want to lose weight and it's
No.
It is like, oh, wait.
It's cheaper, but it's some women are just not going to lose weight breastfeeding. I'm sorry.
My sister, total opposite. She like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I'm like, ugh. Oh, just breastfeed. And it'll go. I'm like, no.
Also, the part of this, too, that we don't give ourselves enough grace is as soon as I'm in the operating room and I'm wheeled out, I am diaphragmatic breathing now. Like I am mobilizing the pelvic floor. I'm not doing any contractions. I'm just giving blood flow to the tissues to help with the healing process, feeding the tissue the blood so it can heal properly. And I immediately start that. And that's what I do for several weeks. And so vaginally or C-section. And then you want to obviously really focus on proper mechanics. When you are nursing, my good friend just had a baby C-section. She's a pelvic floor therapist. And she's like, oh my gosh, Cassie, it's her first baby. She says, I'm so sore across my back and my posture's terrible. And even though she knows, like she specializes in prenatal postpartum, she knows way more even than me.
And then she's like, ugh.
And it's so different when you're in it though, because I'm like, you know, proper body mechanics, you know, we're not just stretching our pelvic floor. We're stretching our pecs. We're stretching our thoracic spine. We're stretching our hips. We're doing really good body mechanics, getting out of bed. This is why I tell it should be standard of care for every woman pregnancy and postpartum to see a pelvic floor therapist. Mm-hmm. It is what we do for a living. It is.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many women are like, oh, my doctor told me to, or my midwife told me, or my doula told me to. And I love all those professions. But the expertise of muscle strengthening and preparing the pelvic floor for delivery is often miscommunicated. So the pelvic floor's job during labor is to get out of the way.
Right.
And allow the uterus to contract and baby to come out. And so many times my women are told to do so many Kegels to help prepare for labor. And I'm like, you want to always be strong. And we should do that every single day and work on it. But we also need to work on the mobilization so pelvic floor can do what it's supposed to do, which is get out of the way.
Exactly.
So uterus can do its job. Yeah. So then you also, again, same thing, whether you're a teenager or just had a baby, we are focusing on our nutrition, our hydration, good body mechanics, breathing, good position and posture on the toilet, and strengthening. And I'm an advocate for strengthening. One, using your pelvic floor all the time during functional movement. So every single day to get out of bed to the time you go to bed. And so making sure that you're actively trying to gain muscle, because after the age of 35, if we're right, or 30, depending, if you're not actively trying to gain muscle or maintain it, we are losing it. So we want to ensure that we are strong to protect our bones and to carry us through the next stage, perimenopause and menopause and all the things.
Yeah, I know. I just got back with my trainer to start doing some weight training because I've been falling off, and I'm telling, oh my gosh, breastfeeding and pregnancy, and I'm 44, my butt is gone. Like there's nothing there anymore. I'm like, what has happened? Like, oh yeah, honey, you're in your mid 40s and you just breastfed and had a baby. Like it's so I'm starting today with my getting back to the weights, because I did it all the way up, you know, through the whole pregnancy, and then life happened. And so I fell off. And if you don't continually build, you know, it's you're going to lose it.
I hope you're enjoying today's episode with Dr. Cassie. Again, reminder to head down to the show notes to check out all of her information. Her course is extremely valuable on women's health, and I think it's a must do, especially as we get older and these habits start to change. Knowing how to approach them the right way is absolutely vital. I also wanted to remind you, I have a host of free resources in the show notes as well for you. And you can always get those at my website, www.sarahkleinerwellness.com, and go to the free resources tab. And as a listener of the show, you can always save 10% off on any of my courses with the code PODCAST. And there are so many to choose from. So thank you again for listening. If you're enjoying the episode, head on over to Apple or Spotify. Leave the show up to a 5-star review. It will help to get the show out to more people. And if you're listening on YouTube, leave us a like, leave us a comment, especially if this information has been helpful to you. All right, let's jump back into the show.
As we, and women are having children, I'm 40, later in life, I was, I did this school thing in my 20s and 30s. My best friends all have high schoolers, and I'm like, I'm still having babies over here.
I have a 16-year-old and a 17-month-old, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Yeah. That's so fun. What a great help. Hopefully the older one is helpful with little one.
Well, she has nonverbal autism. So that's
okay.
That's why we waited. It's the same dad. Everyone's like, oh, you got remarried. I'm like, no, we just thought it was going to get easier one day. And then I woke up and was like 41. I'm like, oh, we need, if we're going to do number two, like it needs to happen now. Because time is running out.
Well,
so,
I hope
yeah.
You bring so much joy.
Oh yeah. It's been awesome.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, with muscle, as we're having children, it's so impactful on our body and our muscle strength. And we go into pregnancy, a lot of us go into pregnancy weaker than we would ever want to be. And then we come out even weaker after this huge event. And so
and the breastfeeding steals all of your nutrients and everything else.
And then on top of that, you're sleep deprived, right? And so functioning is actually impressive. When I see a mom, I'm like, you are killing it, girlfriend, because you are running on no sleep, whether you're breastfeeding or bottle
or
feeding
not.
Or however
you're
feeding
your child. It's all hard.
It is so hard. So
give
yourself so much grace, and also know that you can gain strength at any age. Mm-hmm. At any age, any hormonal level, we can absolutely make improvements in your overall strength. And muscle just helps with everything.
Everything.
I think women get really overwhelmed, like, oh, I can't lift weights. So I'm like, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. You can start with body weight. That's plenty. And then slowly gain. And doing it to be strong is much different than doing it to lose weight. The whole shift dynamically
shift
is
incredible. Your mind. Yeah, absolutely.
Once I stopped going to the gym to lose weight, I loved the gym.
Right.
There was no pressure.
Right.
Like, I'm just doing this. This is fun, right?
So, and it gets fun. You get stronger. Like you can do all these cool things that you're like, wow, it's fun. And then you have to get out of that mindset of like, lose weight. It's a trap, you know, it's a complete trap.
Yes. So let's move on. And whether you have children or not have children, your pelvic floor deserves attention along with the rest of your muscle strength.
Agree.
So, so many women say, I haven't even had children. Well, I don't have pelvic floor dysfunction. I've had 3 babies. And so my pelvic floor dysfunction started before I had children. So one of the biggest is
it's just from children. Yeah,
It's not just from children. Mine, I seriously think mine started because of my anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the nervous system is huge in all of our health issues.
Oh, yes.
All of them.
So constipation, all the things that I went through had nothing to do with me bearing children, right? So hormones, mental health, diet, nutrition. That's why we have to talk about these things. Sleep, sleep is so huge for women. But okay, let's talk about perimenopause. I was just talking to my girlfriends about perimenopause yesterday on the phone, and they're like, hot flashes, weight gain, urinary leakage, constipation, I can't sleep. And I'm like, okay, girls, we got to get it together, because perimenopause, I think, gets so the conversation I feel that I've heard my whole life. And I remember my mom going through menopause, and then I went through menopause, you know, medically induced menopause, which I'm sure is different than actual menopause. But I remember my mom going through menopause, but she talked nothing about perimenopause that I can remember.
Right,
And
right.
perimenopause is, I feel like, it's not a fun one, right?
It's
We're not.
long and it's, yeah.
Fluctuates. So when I, this is the group that chose me to, and I absolutely love it. Perimenopause, menopause women, postmenopausal women is my area that is just, I'm in love with this group of women.
Those are mostly my listeners and mostly my community is, like I said, when we turned on before we started the recording, is like
Yes.
40, 50, 60, 70. Those are my ladies, you know, and it's they're the ones that are really struggling the most with this. And I think, and we'll, I know I'm sorry for jumping, but the biggest thing they complain about that they'll even talk about, because sometimes they're just too embarrassed to talk about these things, which maybe we can remove the stigma, talk about it, is the waking up to pee multiple times a night. That is the biggest thing that they are freaking out about on a regular basis. If you search my group, waking up to pee, you'll like a ton of posts will pull up and there's a ton of opinions and it's this and it's that. So maybe we
So,
could
okay,
start
so
there.
waking up to urinate impacts our sleep, which impacts our quality of life, which impacts our hormonal function that is already all over the place in perimenopause. Estrogen is up, she's down, she's up, she's down. Progesterone is getting tired of her crap that they've dealt with for all these years and is kind of depleting slowly. And so I feel like estrogen is like that party girl that you're like, calm the heck down. But when she is low, and she not like chill low, but just low estrogen hormone levels, that impacts the plumpness of all our muscle tissue and our the elasticity in our skin and all the things. And that can cause more of this urinary leakage, urinary frequency, urinary urgency. And then, so when I went to my doctor, remember I was 16 when this all started, I was getting up 4 to 5 times a night, and the impact it was having on my brain's function the next
Oh, yeah.
day, this buildup of not sleeping makes us more moody, where it's hard to make decisions. The problem-solving skills are just not there because we're getting no sleep. Right. And so we are not making decisions that we would do if we had 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So,
Right.
one of the things, and if you go to my platform, you'll see me talk about it all the time, is getting up more than one time a night is absolutely not normal. And we have to fix it. And one of the things I always tell my women is I don't train nighttime bladders, I train daytime bladders. Because when you take a good focus on the daytime and you pick out all these yucky bladder habits, then we and start training our pelvic floor and we're more aware of what's going on with the. That's a big thing, is we our bladder sends a signal to the brain to get up. It needs to empty. We go do that. Even though we know we're not drinking water during the night, our bladders aren't filling to the top. Now they're filling, absolutely filling. But our bladders at nighttime when we're sleeping are kind of resting themselves. So they can't rest when they're sending all these really demanding signals to the brain to get up and empty. So what I tell women, I'm like, we have to look at your daytime bladders. Are we hydrating well enough? So I just did, I'm filming a series right now as women, all the things women have told me of why their urine leakage is normal. And the number one thing I hear on a daily basis, several times a day, is, well, I drink a lot of water. And that's why I leak urine. That's why I go to the bathroom so often. That's why I get up all night. Our bodies are made up of a ton of water. We want to hydrate. In fact, when we dehydrate ourselves, our urine becomes more acidic, which causes inflammation in the bladder lining, making the bladder unstable and fussy. And so ensuring that we hydrate ourselves appropriately and well enough daily is really important. So I see women, especially in this perimenopausal stage of life, they're done having children, a lot of them. Me, I'm like, let's do this all through the years.
Why
but
not?
they think they're ready to get their bodies back and to be healthy and good again. And so one of the easiest things to do is increase water intake. So we
Water
go
intake.
20 ounces of water to 1 gallon of water a day, or 100 ounces of water a day. And it's like, wow,
we don't need that much.
Eating a fire hose to our bladder, which causes us to go to the bathroom more often, which causes inflammation, and the bladder is fussy. And so when we're going so frequently during the day, that can cause, you know, us to get up all night. It's like the bladder never shuts off. Then when we start increasing water intake, or let's say the opposite, we're dehydrating ourselves, because maybe if we dehydrate ourselves or not drink enough water or stop water at a certain time, which is one of the biggest things I see being told to women, just don't drink water after 6 p.m. and then you won't get up at night. My ladies are like, so I stop drinking that, and I'm like, are you thirsty?
Yeah.
I go to bed with my water every night. So
me too. I have a glass beside the bed. Yeah.
This thing is with me all day, every day, everywhere I go. So ensuring that we're not dehydrating, we can overhydrate too, right? Mm-hmm. But we're hydrating appropriately. And so I ask women when they start training their bladders, I'm like, how much water do you drink now, today, average? And they'll say, I don't know, maybe a couple glasses of water. I'm like, okay, let's say we drink 20 ounces of water. For the next week, we're going to drink 25 ounces of water a day. And then we're going to see how your bladder tolerates it. And then we're going to go up to 30 ounces the next week, like very slow progressive training. So your bladder's not overloaded. We don't start making these bad habits. So a lot of my girlfriends do 75 hard.
Oh Lord, where they're like, drink the gallon of water. There's that whole thing is wrong on so many levels. Like, just don't do it. Don't do it.
Reading and getting outside and doing some and being.
Some of it's good, but the gallon of water thing is just dumb, because you're also going to wash all of the minerals out of your body as well. Like it's.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, let's go ahead and just wash everything. So anyways, and you go from 20 ounces to a gallon of water. And then now we have poor habits where we're peeing all the time. We're pushing to pee. We're rushing to the toilet. We're panic peeing. We are peeing just in case. We're doing all these things. Now these habits are causing, just wreaking havoc on the bladder system. So I kind of take that away, and we start training the bladder during the day and being aware of, you know, your glass of wine at night could heavily impact the inflammation in your bladder, all over your body, that could keep you up at night. It's impacting your sleep, or maybe you're not drinking alcohol at all, which is where I'm at in my, not just because I'm pregnant, I haven't drank alcohol in years, but it was a big, like, listen to your body communicating. If every time you drink alcohol, the next day you are on the couch, stomach hurting, headache, poor decisions with food, like, no. And that's just my choice. But I, so we look at all that. And then we look at also strength training and how to, so when your bladder is waking you up all night, it's part of a nervous system thing. So this is called urgency. There's urgency, frequency, and incontinence. And sometimes you can have all three. Lots of times you have all three. And so learning to calm the nervous system before you go to the bathroom is really important and part of the bladder training we do during the day. And when you have that tool and resource, you can do it at night. I see a lot of women have these habits start when they have babies. So you're at feeding a baby every 2 to 3 hours. And so you're just going to go to the bathroom just in case, because
you don't want to be trapped there for 45 minutes and you can't pee. It's the worst.
So we go just in case. And now we've got this habit of going 2 or 3 times a night. And that habit doesn't leave when baby is no longer nursing at night. And so we're still getting up. And so my women are 40, 50, 60 years postpartum, and we're still getting
up,
nursing a baby all night, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
That's a big deal. We just train during the day, healthy bladder habits. Our goal is to go every 3 to 4 hours with no more than one nighttime waking. We're urinating for at least 10 seconds with no pushing or anything like that. But we want to make sure our bladder is full, and then we empty it completely. But when we're going just in case, we're training our bladder, which is one of the unfortunate things, is a lot of these symptoms come from our training. it to behave a certain way unintentionally. By Jake going pee just in, and this is something we teach our children: go potty just in case.
Go just in case we're about to go on the road. Go
pee, right?
Because I don't want you to pee in the car.
Yeah, we just got back from a cruise, and I was like, oh my gosh, the amount of times I said, "Do you need to go to the bathroom?" was ridiculous.
With three children, I'm sure.
I'm definitely not perfect at all with that, but I try really hard to teach my children when I'm potty training them, listen to your bladder. You're in control. My son has severe urgency, and it's getting so much better, but he would straight panic, and we would breathe and you're in control. You're going to make it, those things. So, anyways, we want to make sure we have really healthy bladder habits. A lot of times with this age too, we're getting into high blood pressure medications, we're getting into diuretics, we're getting into these things. And women, one of the side effects, obviously, especially of a diuretic, is we're urinating more often. We have more type 2 diabetes, so there's more urination.
And the estrogen dropping as well, that can impact the bladder, urinary tract infections, all of that.
I never had a urinary. I just moved my family across the country to South Carolina from Kansas City, and I got my first UTI of my. I was always really proud that I never got a UTI. I had every kind of other pelvic floor dysfunction known to man, but never a UTI. And then I got one right before we left, and it was due to the amount of stress I was under moving to a whole nother state, just because I wanted to be next to the ocean. But I think that it's really important to know that more than one UTI a year, and I can't even imagine, I have women who have chronic UTIs.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yes, and I don't know, that was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah.
And it's just so treated with antibiotics instead of getting down to the root cause, which antibiotics we know just causes. I love antibiotics. I'm so glad we have all the medicines and the surgeries and all the
There's a fine line we have to walk with antibiotics, because it's like we're so fear-mongered against them. And honestly, like, there have been times when if I didn't give an antibiotic to a child, like, they could have died. Like, there's a reason why they are, but they're just overused.
Yes.
And then you don't end up looking for the root cause of, like, why has my kid had 5 ear infections in the last year? Like, that's not okay. That's not normal.
Right. We're never discussing why is this happening?
Why is this happening? We just throw an antibiotic at it. And so that, I feel like, is the problem.
Yes. So figuring out, how to care for our vulvar and vaginal tissue with products that are safe is where I always start with my women, right? Whether you're perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, that tissue needs to be cared for, and we're not taught how to do it. In fact, the feminine hygiene market is like I can't even remember the stats, but like $22 billion market or something like that. We are discouraged to smell like anything. We need to smell like roses.
Right.
We need to do all the things, use all these deodorants, and it's
no endocrine disruptor city. Like,
absolutely. And it's another form of communication our body gives us, right? So if there's significant odor, the last thing we need to do is throw soap on it to get rid of, and perfumes and all the things to get rid of this odor that's getting rid of our good bacteria, that's job is to get rid of the odor, the yucky bacteria.
Right.
And then we're never talking about our gut health. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Huge. So, I mean, you guys, it all ties together, and it seems really overwhelming, and we just start really simple, but products is one of the things. Like, we are using organic pads and tampons. If you look at the back of a tampon or pad box and you don't know what those ingredients are, look them up, see what they're used for, and your body is not going to know what those are, right? Mm-mm. So oftentimes pads are grown in, they're cotton, right? They're grown in a field, they're sprayed with pesticides, like a kind of necessary evil, taken to a...
Some have like chlorine in them, and
we put it next to our very absorbent vaginal vulvar tissue. So... that makes weakness in the tissue, jeopardizes the integrity of the tissue. Now we can have adhesions, pain, odor, all the things. So making sure you're using organic pads and tampons. You do not need soap past labia majora. Like we have a self-cleaning oven. Our bodies are so smart. And I know it's so hard to wrap our brains around, right? Like if we have an odor, we wash it. And how we get clean is with soap. I mean, I was told the things I used, the loofahs and the smell good stuffs and all the things, and my odor was just terrible. And one thing I tell women, one, it puts us at a higher chance of UTI infection, bacterial vaginosis, yeast infections, all those things. But our bodies are not meant to smell like a strawberry or a flower
No. No. Bath and Body Works.
Yeah,
No.
right. I tell people, I'm
Cucumber
like, go to a
melon.
flower shop if you want to smell like that, right? Like, and it's so
Right.
geared towards women, which it could be a whole nother podcast. It's last time I checked, men have odors too. I know I've treated
Right.
my whole life and I'm married to one, but so making sure we're using safe pads and tampons, not using soap. Past labia majora, which is our outside lips. Nothing in the water is plenty because we have bacteria down there built to take care of the yuckiness. And then looking at your diet and nutrition, hydration, also looking at stress levels, which could be another podcast. But then we look at lubrication that we're using because when estrogen is low,
That's when
lubrication
you
is
lose
low.
it.
So ensuring that we're using lubrication that is really healthy and safe. So there's coconut. You can use coconut oil. I tell just no KYs, no Astroglides, nothing like that. I cannot believe that's even sold on the market still. But coconut is one. I used to love Good Clean Love. There is a carrageenan. I don't. Is that how you pronounce
I think
it?
so. Yeah. That's
Yeah. And so I had a. You know, that's the lubrication I've always used and it doesn't bother me. I'm very sensitive. So just getting into looking at safe lubrication and using that if need be. So I had a woman who specializes in perimenopause nutrition reach out to me yesterday and she's like, does everybody have to use lubrication? What if they have enough of their own? And I'm like, absolutely not. There's nothing
Yeah.
better than your body.
Right. That's what she, right.
Yeah, so
Agreed.
if you don't need it, don't use it. But if you
Don't
do,
use
make sure
it.
you use something safe.
Yep. To not disrupt the microbiome, because there's a microbiome down there that, and yeah, if you have poor gut health, that is going to impact that. And so it's all like we said in the beginning, it's all connected. Yes.
Yes.
And your
So, and
nervous
that would
system
carry on to
too.
menopause too.
Yeah.
Like we would want to ensure. And I think menopause women are some of my strongest women and
Yes.
most determined women to get this under
Yes.
control because their body
Yes.
has been
They're
in.
so frustrated because they're in the, and that's yesterday, a woman in my group, she was just so frustrated. She's like, I'm 70. I just wake up 2 to 3 times a night. Sometimes I can go back to sleep. Sometimes I can't go back to sleep. What do I do? And so what we would, things she could try would obviously be, you know, what we just talked about with making sure we're not using any products that are disruptive, gut health, hydrating, sweeteners too. I think artificial sweeteners.
Yes, or sweeteners in general. That's an area that is so hard for me, but
I know all my ladies struggle with it, and then I'm like, let me give you some studies. Like, here, just look. Just I know it's hard because, like,
yourself and you start reading, then you can make really good informed decisions on nutrition because I feel like nutrition is one of the hardest things,
Very hard
right?
for
It's
people.
such a
Very hard.
cultural social, how we're raised type thing.
Reward center, like the sweeteners are like, I just want something, you know, and I'm like, you need to get to the point where if you really want something sweet, you can have some fruit or have, like, you know, and I know we're in perimenopause and menopause, the body is less carb tolerant, we're more insulin resistant, so we can't just go on these high carb diets and eating all this junk. But like, if we work on your resilience, if we allow your metabolism to become healthier, and there's a lot of things we can do to support that, you can have a piece of fruit. You don't need to be putting artificial sweetener
in your coffee. Like, that's probably one of the worst things you can do for your bladder health is be drinking coffee with artificial sweetener in it, right?
Yes.
Ladies, please listen to this.
I used to drink my coffee like a dessert, right? Like,
yes. Yeah.
And I didn't start drinking coffee till I was in my master's degree, well within my pelvic floor journey that started, you know, at 16. And I still, knowing all the things, would still like coffee mate, sugar.
Oh,
Lord. You know, like this much coffee, that much. It makes my skin.
Yeah. Like, coffee mate. Oh, yep.
Yeah. Along with all the alcohol I drank and the smoking I did and the fast food, you know, like, so it's a journey. It's not like you have to give up. And I tell women, they're like, oh, I cannot give up. You're going to tell me to stop drinking coffee. I don't tell you to do anything. I educate you for you to make an informed decision and just know you don't have to stop forever. Right. And
stop for period
a month. See how you do for a month. Right. And we can do anything from, I'm also like, I don't want to be dependent on anything. Nothing brings me happiness other than myself and my family and the sunshine.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So I think I get really like, oh, I can do this because nothing's going to have that hold on me, but I doesn't mean I don't love my warm coffee in the morning in silence. Like I'm there. Yeah. One of the things I tell them and I'm like, it has, you know, just a short time and then you introduce it, then your bladder will communicate with you and you will get so much data yourself. And, you know, and I tell people, leaking urine, getting up in the middle of the night, this is all your motivator. If you want to sleep through the night, if you want to not leak urine, you can do that. But there are changes that have to be made to really just optimize function of your body.
Yep. And the daytime bladder, what you're saying, like if you're getting up to pee 2 to 3 times a night, it's a daytime training.
We have to look at daytime.
Yeah.
Now, if you're drinking a bottle of wine before bed, I'd be like, let's just stop that real fast
and not do that.
That might be the only thing you have to change. But typically not. Like it's normally compounding habits that we've done and been taught. And it's all just to, you know, a lot of it happens with our profession. So teachers.
Oh yeah. My sister's a teacher.
Yeah, my sister is too. And I got
on your feet all day.
Yes. They can't leave their kids. But if you think about any profession, right? I would have patients back to back to back to back to back.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I have to pee at this specific time. Yeah.
And so if I had 5 minutes, even though I just went, I would go again. And so often my teachers will be like, oh, I just go like here, here, here. I'm like, if you go at 7, you could be able to hold it till 11 or lunchtime, or go at 8 and go at lunchtime. But it's so fearful that we won't get a chance to go because we no longer trust our bodies. So we're like, if I got to go, I got to go. Right. And so training to trust yourself and training your bladder, knowing that we're not panic peeing. And it's not just teachers, it's nurses, it's surgeons, it's construction workers, it's police officers. Yeah. Every profession has these parameters we have built around it. That, you know, going to the bathroom is just, we just don't trust ourselves. So we often go more times or we hold it all day.
Hold it, a badge of
honor. I have women who are like, oh, I can hold my bladder for 10 hours. And I'm like, don't do that. That is terrible for your bladder. It distends your bladder. It totally ignores it just makes me feel so bad for your body because you have ignored its communication with you for years. And we can't do that. It distends your bladder. Once your bladder is stretched like that, we can't get it back down to normal. And so it's really important to make sure you listen to the signals. And sometimes we have ignored it for so long that you don't even feel the signals anymore. You don't hear your bladder saying, I need to go to the bathroom. It just doesn't communicate with you anymore. And I tell people, I'm like, if you have a friend who you talk to and she never communicates back with you for years, you stop communicating with that friend, right?
Right.
You should,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to put it into perspective, but yeah, you always want to train your daytime bladder, make sure you're hydrating, eliminate the and coffee. The thing with coffee is people think it's just caffeine. So then they'll switch to decaffeinated.
Decaf. That's, I know I'm going to get that question. So I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah. So
you might have gotten this a few times.
One is still has caffeine traces in it, but two, a lot of times the coffee isn't necessarily the caffeine that's irritating. You might not be irritated by caffeine, but coffee is very acidic, and acidic along with, you know, a citrus is acidic, can cause inflammation in the bladder lining. So there are less acidic coffees on Amazon. They're much more expensive. I'd rather also, if it's too expensive, I'm like, I'll just not drink it, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So it's important to know that just because you switch to decaf doesn't mean that you're finding it, right?
What about, I know people are going to ask, what about tea? That's the next question.
Teas, carbonated waters. People are like, oh, I'm drinking carbonated water. And I'm like, it's carbonated. It's very inflammatory.
I know. Everyone's teas like, I've got a soda stream. I'm like,
oh yeah. And I like love soda. It's one of my treats. And so, but I switched to Topo Chico carbonated water, and I'll have one, like every other day or every 3 days or something like that. And, I can totally tell. I get immediately, I'm like, I was silly.
There it is. No, I don't drink carbonated stuff really anymore. I just,
During this pregnancy, for some reason, I've just craved the carbonation. I don't know if it's settling my stomach or what, but
I think it does settle it, because I remember that in my pregnancy too. It does settle the stomach.
Teas, same thing, you know. They're gonna, what I tell women is that I love mineral water, like I love electrolytes.
That's what I'm all about, the mineral water.
Yes. And I not junk minerals, and I'm sure you teach all your,
oh yeah, don't buy,
there's
the
so much
Costco
trash out there.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And even the LMNT, it's got the sweeteners in it.
Yeah.
So
don't
get the electrolytes with artificial sweeteners.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a mineral snob. I love Keen-Ton. I don't know if you've ever heard of Keen-Ton minerals before. Oh my gosh. I that stuff got me through pregnancy, breastfeeding. Like, I buy it in the big bottle off of Full Script. Like, I,
what do you think of Jigsaw?
I think Jigsaw's good. Yeah,
that's what I use.
Yeah.
Or I'll make
my
own.
Yeah. You can make your own too. You make your own Sole water. Like, it's very easy to do. Yeah. Yeah. Keen-Ton though, I'm telling you, you got to try the hypertonic, especially pregnant. They have entire pregnancy and breastfeeding protocols.
Okay.
The reason I got into it is because I was not able to get pregnant. I was having a lot of pregnancy losses, and they have a pre-pregnancy protocol that is supposed to help prevent pregnancy loss. And so I was like, sign me up, I'm on. But it just, that's a really great mineral solution.
Oh, so wonderful. I love that. Not that it's newer, I think we're just talking about it more. So I think it's super, like when I'm talking to my friends who are doing 75 hard and they're drinking a gallon of water, I'm like, your body doesn't
stop.
Like, you're getting rid of the minerals that open up your cell doors. That, and I have women who have, you know, I was this 3 o'clock, especially when I was in clinic, I was like, I gotta have a coffee.
Yeah,
I gotta have this pick me up at 3 o'clock. And it became such a routine. And I have a good friend who's a dietitian. She's like, why don't you try some mineral water? And the first time I drank it, I was like, oh God, no, I can't. There's no way. And she's like, just do it. Pull up your big girl panties and do it. And it was like instant energy. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so hydrated. And so I love that. So switching these little things, like your afternoon coffee for instead like a mineral water, is just
water.
Fun. You can put it in a fancy cup with ice cubes and all the things, and it's great. So I think it's just, you know, you train your daytime bladder, you take a hard look at your overall diet, nutrition. We take it, obviously, a look at strength And stress level is a huge one too. Mine started with my anxiety, I swear it. And my mental health was just, I was so stressed even at 16,
Oh
right? And
yeah.
so that is so hard on our bodies, right?
It
So
is.
just taking a look at your overall health and wellness, which I feel like the people in your group are, that's their mission right now. And so
It
that's
is.
wonderful.
And this, I think, is a missing piece for so many of the ladies in my community. So I'm like, I can't wait to share this interview with them. I think it's going to be super helpful. And all of your stuff too, because you have courses. You have, because I know they're going to want, like, okay, how can I do this? So you've got some, like,
I have
I've heard really
one,
great
I do
courses.
have two courses, but I don't really talk about. I just made one course because one person reached out and was like, I don't know how to talk to my daughter about my period, her period. And I was like, oh, I'll make you something. Because that's another area that I struggle with so bad was when I started my menstrual cycle and the lack of education and knowledge and women understanding their bodies and not being embarrassed by it and expecting and understanding what's dysfunctional and normal is super important. So I have a little period course that's called Go with the Flow. But my main course is You're in Good Company, and it teaches women, and I created this for women who did not have access to pelvic floor rehabilitation. So I was contacted by, people all over the world who were saying, I don't have pelvic floor. We don't have pelvic floor therapists here, or I got to drive 5 hours. And then I was starting to get into the area where women were like, I don't want to take my kids. Like I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I don't
Right,
have time to
right,
do that. Or I'm
right.
too embarrassed. I don't want to do that. And so I think in-person pelvic floor rehabilitation is beautiful. I also think there's such a place for online. So where I used to be like, in-person is the only way to do it, I think online has just a beautiful thing too, because if you don't have access, obviously, if you don't want to be embarrassed, if you want to do it out in your own speed. So that's why I made You're in Good Company. And it's a like 17 module course, and it walks you step by step by step how to stop leaking urine, how to improve bladder habits, how to improve nutrition, how nutrition hydration impacts bladder systems. It has a obviously I teach you how to Kegel, and I teach you all the exercises around it. I tell people I'm not a personal trainer. I think sometimes that gets misconstrued. They're like, how many reps? How many this? And I'm like, 12 times three, that's what I do.
Right,
Teaching the exercises that are important to build overall strength. Then I have these bonus modules, perimenopause, menopause, pelvic pain, so many areas that are not addressed or addressed poorly, products to use. We have a whole self-care module. So I think it's just super informative. I feel like my mission in life is to make women their strongest advocates and just teaching them about, I start off with teaching you your anatomy. So important to be like,
Right.
oh, that's what a pelvic floor is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like until I was trying to get pregnant with my son in my 40s, I wasn't like in tune with my cycle. I was just annoyed by it. And I was like, oh God, I deal with this stupid thing again. 41 years old, now I'm like, okay, this is a fertile window. This is a luteal. This is a follicular. Like, this is, and I'm like, why did no one teach me this as a young woman when I was struggling and all these hormone issues? Like, nobody teaches you this stuff. And nobody teaches you this stuff about your bladder. But women are just struggling. 'Cause I know this episode is gonna get like a ton of traction from my ladies. And when we get off this call, I'm gonna go buy your course, because I need to understand this stuff too, because it's so crucial. And like I said, so many women are struggling with it, and we're just like, it's just normal. You just deal with it.
I think as we fluctuate, right? Like it's not linear. So when we go through these different stages, my course, it was really important for me to, I want women to just totally change their quality of life quickly and long term. That's what, when you get the course, it's yours for a lifetime. Any updates I make is yours. We have a free private Facebook community where they
Oh,
can go in and ask
nice.
me questions. But I think it's really important to know that what happens now and the work you do now, you probably are going to have to revisit it when you get the flu, when you get a respiratory infection, when you go through perimenopause, when you go through menopause, when you have something high stress in your life. I can't tell you how many people in my group are like, oh my gosh, I've been leak free for 6 months. And then I'm just like gushing and I start unpacking what's going on. Oh, my brother died, or my mom's sick, or oh, I just have been so swamped at work and I haven't been paying attention. And so it's so important to know that it's not linear, but when you have this education, you can always come back to it and be like, I know what to do. I always tell women, I'm like, you have all the tools. You know what to do. Go back to them and get to work again. And because they feel like they're starting at ground zero. And I'm like, you're never starting over. Once you've learned it, you're never starting over, and you can just get right back on the horse and get going and get back to what's important. And being in the bathroom all day long is not important. Spending money, the amount of money we spend on pads, I'm just like, oh my gosh, no, don't do that. That's such a waste of money. Like, we can get rid of those. So, yeah, I'm so excited to have had this opportunity to chat with you. And yeah, appreciate
Yeah,
you.
well, if some, I'm going to link everything in the show notes, and this will be on YouTube, it'll be on audio only. But if someone's just maybe driving in their car, is there a website you want to let us know about?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Cassie DeWitt. Cassie is with a K. I have the worst Instagram name because someone has my name and I'm like, give me my name. Okay. Because it'd
Oh
be so much
no.
easier. And I'm there, open book. Please ask questions. Like, I'm the one who answers all my DMs, and I'm also on Facebook. So please ask me any of the questions. I think it's so important to have these conversations,
Oh
right?
yeah. Yes.
To ask, hey, I have this issue. Do you think in person would be better? I'm so transparent about that. And then I have a website, cassiedewitt.com. Cassie is with a K, Kassie DeWitt, DeWitt.com. And there you can find, all the information about what I have to offer. Yeah, my website. I mean, their websites. I feel it's
Yeah.
weird once you go into the online space and it's like sales
Like,
pages and websites. And I'm
I
like,
know it's a whole
reach out
thing.
and
Oh,
ask any
trust, I
questions.
went into that last year and I'm like,
Oh
oh
God,
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 it's like
you have, yeah.
it's a whole thing. You got to pay other people to do this for you because it's, yeah, it's.
What I do, I'm super confident at being a pelvic floor therapist, but I struggle with checking an email. Like, I have to have a reminder to be like, check your email.
I know. I know. I have people helping me because I just get so many now, and I'm like, I can't keep up with it. And two kids, and forget it. Like, it's just not. I don't email me.
I totally agree. But I am the one who checks all my DMs. I haven't gotten to the level where I have lots of pelvic floor therapist friends, and I just haven't gotten to the level to let go of that. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the conversations I have. I love helping people, giving them tips. Let's start here and see. I have a free master class that
Nice.
teaches you about your anatomy, what's normal, what's dysfunctional. So you can start outlining, like, okay, I did that. I was told it's normal, but it's not. So what can I do? And in that, I talk about my course at the very end, like the last 5 minutes, I explain it, but we talk about habits and that we can stop today, because when you make these minor tweaks in your habits, it's insane what you can do, and what changes. Just like with nutrition, you make these tiny itty bitty changes and you're like, oh, I have energy, or I feel good, or so I'm sleeping better. So the same thing with
Exactly.
better habits.
I love it. Well, I'm so excited to share this with everyone. And if you're listening or watching, make sure you check the show notes for all of Cassie's links. I'll make sure to post them there. And yeah, thank you so much for being here today. It's been amazing.
Thank you, Sarah. It has been so much fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Dr. Cassie as
as I mentioned a few times already, head down to the show notes to grab her information, free resources, website, all the things, and follow her. She's got so much really wonderful information that I think is going to change the lives of so many women. So it was an honor and a pleasure to have her on the show today. Thank you to the two sponsors of this episode, Viva Rays, code YOGI to save on those circadian glasses, and Upgraded Formulas. Love their magnesium as well as their hair tissue mineral analysis with a consultation. Great for checking in on your personal mineral balance. If you enjoyed the show, please head on over to Apple or Spotify to leave the show up to a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, give us a like, leave us a comment. And just a quick reminder, nothing on this show is medical advice or a substitute for working one-on-one with a medical healthcare practitioner. Thank you again so much for listening or watching, whichever one you did today. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.